ori da dina chido ji da dina yimba yindu ji da ji ni tong ni chua no ji ri tong a chua chua me bi sam chi wen no wa jam ji ra tong ba ni ko tong di dong me ba dong tong ba ni ji tong di ha jang ko sa ba ja chua yindu ji lu ram ren ta sam na ko wa len dong man dra ba dra man dra yong din dra ko no ni ji da no tren da wo mo bu ji yong ge yu wa din dra yindu ว่าจีมัชชีเวนันตัวนั้นจำจิรว่าสมัยก่อนนี่ก็จีดีดังว่าแต่ดินเจ้าก็โกนีจำตาจีเชื่อจำตาดังจำโน่จำตามาว่าเจียงอย่าว่าแต่จำตาสุสุสุสุยังตับถังนี่มาละแต่ดูเล่นเจ้าวัดตอนนี้สบายจีอาดังจีแต่ดินเจ้าก็รับมาบุจียังอย่าดีจีจุดนั้นสบายจีอาดีสามีน้องก็มัชชีเวมาบัสสาริยาดูเล่นสิจิติสัจจิมบุรีว่าเจ้าว่าดังจำเล่นสิจิติ
So, actually, what she was saying, I mean, the reason why we're talking about all that is because we need to stress how difficult the subject of emptiness and selflessness is, how deep it is, how subtle. And of course, you know, when you present a subject like this, trainees will perceive it according to their capacities. And we know that we have trainees of supreme capacities, those of middling capacities, and those of the least capacities. Each class of these trainees, when they hear about selflessness, they would generate their own particular understanding or misunderstanding within their minds regarding this particular object. It is very important to... For that reason, to approach the subject of selflessness with a lot of sensitivity, to study as much as possible the views as they are presented in the four different schools, and then on the basis of that, engage in debate, in questions and answers on these particular issues. Now, this process of examining and debating certain issues is actually very important because it allows one, first of all, to identify what is unclear within one's own mind, and then further on, to remove whatever doubts, whatever unclarity exists within one's own mind. And eventually, one has this deep understanding, this penetration into the subject that is debated. So this is, the purpose of study, of discussion, of debate.
我觉得你这句话挺好，我呢，从你中间这个样，给弄到刚听了，你说起的是时间，你不知道啊，我一个农村人，没人去过，我就，我就搁这个，就从这个，矿工生活这个地方嘛，特殊机构的，特殊机构的，我觉得同样我从农村的同样有呢，我从村民那边讲不讲得过的，像我从的同样名义就有呢，一起解放党。
像这些高级的东北家，顶着个嘛，这个人把忙不特殊级，特过过的，顶着特殊级问他，我就在日本当门口吧，就讲呢，你写这个的，看到那这个的意思。现在么在东北人，你写这个的，我就从这个家里是开了呢，等你农村忙不讲个的时候呢，老不是得了，俺一个农村的，我就从我的，到的过年就，地上有啊，就，家里这个，工作了么，都去了都。
去了么？东东了东，东东了么？东，你东了东，南西了么？东，西了东西呢？我就在听这个人把么不就工作，这边前几日的，都上个那个时候呢，工作了东呢，就可以话嘛哩，去了第特殊几呢？去的点么点大过的是，然后就点么点大个，上了的，就搁这个，初中不就当初年不就也那的大家有话嘛哩，东到了大过的是，东到了大家提了用。 那送南北那套就看不到，没有么这回事的，上下个印度就装一个吃嘛，不有个印度，装东西就得了用，大家有啊嘛，你懂了，大部分的意思。第二呢，用但是一个路得了用，这个南西自己的南西，他这个西外的是热了用，吃不习惯嘛，不有个印度，得做了大家有啊嘛的用，那蛮吃不习惯，这个就是让你大部分的意思，我在人们嘛不就从古代听着印度。
Now this is actually the reason why Buddha Shakyamuni himself has said, whether you are a gelong, whether you are a scholar, whoever you are, never take my teachings at face value. First of all, examine them and analyze them, and after you find them to be valid, only then you should take them on. And this is actually a very important advice, because it is said we should always examine whatever is presented to us. If it is an obvious phenomenon, then valid cognition should be able to analyze and discern whether it is something which is true and should be accepted or not. And if it is a hidden phenomenon or a very hidden phenomenon, then of course faith has to come into place and do some sort of analyzing and acceptance of that. It is very important to make sure that we accept things that do not contradict reason, that we analyze things and we accept them only if they make sense. Now, there is a further advice that is actually given on the basis of that, where it says, don't rely on the teacher, rely on the teachings. Don't rely on the teachings, rely on the meaning. Don't rely from amongst the two types of meanings, the interpretive and the definitive, always rely on the definitive. And at the end it says, don't rely just on any consciousness, just rely on primordial awareness. So first of all, if we see the first advice, it says, don't rely on the teacher, rely on the teachings. It means that really you have to look at the essence of what that person is teaching. Don't just take someone who might seem to be a charismatic teacher. Don't just accept what the teacher says. Look, rather, you have to rely on the teachings. And again, you know, for the teachings, you have to examine the Dharma that is given, whether it is true or not. And when you examine this, you should not always accept as true Dharma this, that which is easy or that which is pleasant for the ears. Rather, you should look for the actual meaning of those teachings. And then when we try to look at the meaning of the teachings, we have to keep into mind that they are sentient beings who have different aspirations, different capacities, and therefore a lot of interpretative meanings, interpretive teachings have been given. Therefore it says, don't rely on the interpretative teachings, you have to rely on the definitive ones, the ones that really are the definite teachings. And then as you're doing this examination, it says, don't rely just on any consciousness, any type of awareness. There are a lot of mistaken types of awareness. Rather, you have to rely on primordial awareness, which is faultless, without any mistake. Alright, so we'll actually stop with the presentation now, and if you have any questions of what related to what was presented on the previous sessions or in today's sessions, then we can have some discussion. So the first question was that there were certain examples of mistaken presentation of emptiness. So what really is emptiness? How do we really define it? Is that true? Rinpoche la ta tering a ronso di rang tong tang sien tong tang ha sang mahayana ki tawa min chawa tena la rinpoche sumwa rez. Mune che na tongba ni se ya di ta nga ronso ki tawa yang tawa kare kare rez.
ओजी Deli 去有这他们几个店个东北人在那旁边的抗议以外人都就当不当不搞些沉默的当下自己的嘛就当下自己的做搞些了搞些老百姓的就有啊的沉默的我身边的我身边的第一当兵的我身边我有啊的嘛到就当就的搞些沉默的我马上把当时呢我就在继续啊弄些
So Rinpoche was actually saying that when you try to understand emptiness, first of all, you have to look at the presentation of all the different schools. And as we say, there are some differences, and the views change from one school to the other. And we have to say that when we look at the views of the first schools, the initial schools, they seem to be a little bit primitive. Like they do have a certain degree of mistakes. These views, they are not the most refined. Eventually, you have to come all the way down to the middle way consequence school and examine what is the view of the self. And in that, you will have to examine different types of phenomena, compounded as well as uncompounded phenomena. And further on, you will have to make the classification between self and, of course, selflessness of the self, or the person, and selflessness of phenomena, which are other than the person. And each time, in order to approach that, you need to, first of all, define and recognize the object of negation. There is a gross object of negation, and there is a subtle object of negation. So you always need to look and identify what is really negated, this subtle object of negation. When we were giving this example, you know, how some people try to approach or explain this view of emptiness, where they were saying if you have a cup and there is no water in there, then we can talk about emptiness. Well, actually, you know, of course you can talk about the cup being empty of the water, but it's in such a gross level that it doesn't really lead you into this understanding of emptiness of a consequent school, right? It's a long way off. So you just have to progressively try to get to the bottom of it. Okay. And now your second question, which was at the end, we said that one should not just rely on any mistake in awareness, but rather one should rely on primordial awareness. So how do we know when we are relying on which? The namse minjawa chul yonyan ki namse chuba mambo yores. Yan chuba yoba di ta yeshe ta parla ngaran su di kebar kandes hako sarin.
Ori. Yiye pe na chi ta namse sa di mwishi na chi na chi che chi lu shi di chuk yuwa yendu di mara yere zhuk dra chulo roksha sa yedda onwa jangna mar gawa yedda mongwa jangna dingar chi ya. De yon chi namsang ko tura di di ki jangwa di jisun zhong ni我觉得第一人被敲下来呢就南西西瓦主播的那农村长丁一忙不养归外然后农村麻将一起玩又一玩的到时候几个有个你刚刚个尊尊者我的一起起玩的一起起玩你们的到时候几个到时候马上他的身边几个一起起玩的做的电锅归外的也是上养归外的本来几个人这个
Rinpoche was saying actually that we have different types of awareness. We have six types of awareness. Five of them are mental, and the sixth one is five of them. Sorry, are related to the senses, and the sixth one is the mental one. So you can have eye awareness, ear awareness, nose awareness, tongue awareness, tactile awareness, and on top of that you also have mental awareness. Each one of those awarenesses or consciousnesses is engaging their own respective object. So you can see that eye awareness is engaging form. For example, ear awareness will engage sound, and then so forth, you know, we will have the smells, the taste, the tactile object, as well as mental phenomena. And what happens is that every time that sense awareness engages its own particular object, for us, this is translated as an experience which is either pleasurable or unpleasant. And we have certain reactions on the basis of that. And there is quite a lot of mistaken types of minds that is found with those sense awareness. And really, when it says don't rely on mistaken awareness, rely on primordial awareness, the advice is try to rely on mental awareness. Mental awareness itself is the part within your mind which will allow you to analyze and check whether there is mistake or not. And Rinpoche was saying that, to give you an example, if let's say you have a session of debate, right, or if you have a debate in the parliament and so forth, you have all the different parties debating and there will be different positions presented, right, you know, it is like this, no, it's not like that, and so forth. But at the end, in order to conclude that, you should have someone who is from the beginning designated as, let's say, the president of the debate, or in the case of a classroom, you have the teacher. And this person should be able to analyze the debate and say, well, you know, your position was wrong because of that and that. Your position was correct because of that and that. Therefore, we discard this position and we accept this position. So it should work like this, a certain amount of mental analysis. It's like actually having to go to the court, and the two sides will be represented by the lawyers, and the lawyers will say no, and one lawyer will say it is like this, my client did that, and the other lawyer will say no, it was never done this way. And of course at the end you will have the president of the court, you know, you have the main figure, the judge, who will make the final decision.
Speaking about the connection between Asanga and Maitreya, he said that one of the signs of the connection was derived from throwing the toothstick and fell in the direction that indicated Maitreya Buddha. My question was that in my experience with throwing the toothstick, the Buddhas indicated are the five heads of the family.
Actually, I think that I said this one more. But if you think the toothstick, if I said the toothstick, then I'll ask another question. Anybody remember? The flower, yeah, okay. So is it clear if you want the flower?
Then if it was the flower, then the question is still the same. How is Maitreya indicated in terms of throwing the flower as opposed to one of the heads of the platform?
Tata la tena la pabne, koni jawa yobe kitachi gresa. Tanda shunyen ki, tam metodi kaba pabna, yan te wan ki ta, ngaran su kantis ka kosa res, trewa dinje yobe di kantis ka kosa resa.
Hori, dati, kazan su ji anga kabda shuwa na jen tambo miar ji, jen kuru ku,
我就拉走了，我就说了，咱们的，我就说了，咱们的，他们这种地，这个，这个人民农民，这个人民农民，他们就，这个有啊，没得吧？他说有啊，没得。这人民农民，这个光起在地，为了把国文都，把这社会性的，说白了，咱们都在做，我在地过你的，你，都是在海印度在地，把农民玩一玩，原来就干的这个。
我就，为啥个就，龙巴几个嘛，甚至那就，过上几个月以后，那为啥忙不对？为啥忙不对呢？等你，就，为啥忙起来的？如果你嘛就，他对等你他就几个月了哇？我在别的那些，这个当不为啥忙对个搞了？我就在，看他把几当，起码了，要不就让伢个等着起来，没过问题的事。我就等着几，没那么着急。
我在等你的，搞的是互相的，我都在那里玩。因为为了讲怕公布，可能说的，三个人，人啊，跟男的，人去干的人。哦，对。嗯。他的经常这边是经济经过，经常这边经过，他干的呢，那我们是俺们这个嘛，他的经常这边，他经常这边自己的可能，也不能参加的经常这边应该有啊，的男的经过门这边。
就拉走门这边，我住这边有啊的，在地广场就跟哪个人接的，等你那当等于是上门的啊，在地拉走地哪样，哪个拉走地状况蛮样有啊的，我在地哪里在，嗯，就是先把地拉走了，固定的几个地，就是先把，再不拉走了，地不拉走了。
Right. So, okay, so the question was about Arya Asanga and how he had this connection with Matuya. We mentioned the first day that in the occasion of receiving an initiation, he threw the flower in the mandala and the mandala fell in the direction of Matuya, and that was an indication of a connection between the two of them. And the question was, like, you know, exactly how was that defined by the throwing of the flower? Ramshi was going back, reminding us a little bit of the explanation that was given during the context of the Chenrezig initiation that we had a couple of days ago. And he said, well, when you receive the initiation, actually, you throw, there comes a point where you throw the flower in the mandala. The mandala of every deity is divided into five areas. In the center, you have the main deity, and then you have four other deities in the four directions. And these five together represent the five Buddha families. So whichever direction you fall, you will definitely fall into the direction or under the influence of one of the five Buddha families. You cannot miss them. You get one of those five, right? And this indicates the particular Buddha family with whom you have the biggest connection, which means that if you rely on that, you will receive the most benefit. And Ramsha was saying it's very much like going into elections, right? In order to determine who is going to be the prime minister of any country, you have to have elections, and then you count all the votes, and the one who gets the majority of the votes eventually is elected as whatever the president, the prime minister of the country. But before you cast your votes, all these people who are, let's say, trying to be elected, they promise that they will give you the maximum benefit. So you're voting for the maximum benefit, and the one who gets the most votes is the one who gets elected. So a similar thing happens with the throwing of the flower. So then I went back and I asked Ramsha to clarify exactly how Maitreya would fit within the five Buddha lineages, you know, exactly which lineage he was. And Ramsha said, well, he gave me the name of the initiation, and I'm not familiar with it. I don't have a name of the deity for that initiation. Ramsha was saying it comes as a cluster of five or six initiations. Anyway, so Arya Asanga received one of those initiations, and Maitreya must have been one of the deities that was represented in the mandala. So he threw the flower, and the flower fell into Maitreya, which indicated that that was the connection.
About the Hashan view, could Rinpoche please explain more extensively what was the view of this Hashan person? And I'm interested to know if the Hashan view is at all the object of meditation that's used by the Dzogchen in the Nyingma, or the Mahamudra in the Kagyu, or the Zen in Japanese or Chinese Buddhism?
Mm-hmm.
Are any of them meditating on that object?
Now, Rinpoche says this first of all, let's look at the four Buddhist tradition in Tibet. You could say that you have the Dzogchen, the Nyingma tradition, you have the Kagyu, the Sagya, the Kelug tradition. And although we find, you know, different emphasis in different teachings, we have find different names and so forth. Really, the essence of Buddhism that is practiced and the views that are held by those four different schools is the same, and there is no fault in any one of them. And definitely they are not practicing there. No one of them is meditating on the view of Hasang Mahayana. Now, because you mentioned also the view of Zen, and Rinpoche says that he's not 100% familiar with that particular view, but if within the Zen tradition they meditate by thinking there is no virtue, there is no non-virtue, there is nothing whatsoever, nothing appears to the mind. If this is the way they meditate, then this is the view of Hasang Mahayana. But Rinpoche says, I really don't know if this is their view. Okay?
The Benjen Lozan Chinyangamara, Nishakten Sava, Jerry Jong Lamna, Waji Dutch, and Jiboji Chulu Sosu, Chuluji Tavati, Maratamji, Kumbachi, the Babas, and Marson Yuari. Or that in Ojango, Chuetamba Kongago, Tanda, Nanjirinemi, Zotjango Tava, Kajiko Tava, Sarchi Sartan, the Miji Tava, Sejiti, Tava, Mavi Tava, Riti, Lam Tombo, not on Driver. You
Now, it is actually said by Pelden Chöke Kyetsen that if we look at all the schools of Tibetan Buddhism, whether you look at the old traditions, whether you look at the new traditions, you look at the Nyingma, the Kagyu, the Sakya, the Kyeluk, whoever you look, actually the view is middle way view. Of course, you know, the way it is presented, you know, we can have differences in the path, we can refer to a path which is much higher, we can talk about, you know, paths of the completion stage in Dzogchen and so forth. But this, whichever way you look at it, within Buddhism, within Tibetan Buddhism, we all accept this middle way view. Everybody is practicing this middle way view. This other view of Hasang Mahayana, it's a view that says, in my mind, virtue does not appear. Non-virtue does not appear. There is no interdependence. There is nothing to depend upon. Everything is completely empty. This is a completely different view.
Could Mishra please list for us briefly the ultimate and conventional jewels of Buddha Dharma and Sangha? And also, because the presentation was a little bit unfamiliar, if Mishra could explain whether this is a presentation that's unique to the Yuzhang, to this text.
Actually, Lama Sopa Rinpoche was just reminded me a point that I forgot before. Rinpoche mentioned that if one were to actually accept or follow this Khashang Mahayana view, there will be quite a lot of faults that will follow from that, and of course there will be a lot of dispute to follow. Okay, so the question now about the ultimate and the conventional presentation of the three jewels, and whether this is unique to this particular text. Okay. Rinpoche, nga ronso kontro sum rire la don tamba ta kunso ba yore sa. Yang Rinpoche yang kya chik surong na ons. Yang koronso dinre shira koma nyons. Yang di gyu lama ki tummo ma inba jese gyapta ina skare ina ons.
Ori. Tati gyu lama ni gyu mara gyu kontro sum bo rire la don tamba ta kunso ba nyire nyire san yuwari. Yuwa yina di gyu gyu lama tummo ma inba yon yung yuwa marwa. Gyu don gyu non bijan chenpo tuzo na ji yu tong tenpa tang kwan zuba se ji ni senda wudu tinda mambu ji yang yang guyo wari o ji da tinda yinba chik ji da tini ri ti yang jir ji du du ju shi gui.
Alright, so first of all, you know, this classification and this presentation of ultimate and relative in relation to each one of the three jewels, definitely it's something that occurs here in the Sublime Continuum of the Mahayana, but it's not unique to this text. If you look at other texts, in many occasions you will have presentation of the ultimate and the relative in relation to the three jewels, so it's not unique. And Rinpoche will actually now go through this classification once again. Right, so first of all, we're examining the Buddha jewel, and we have the classification between of relative and ultimate Buddha jewel. When we talk about the relative Buddha jewel, from amongst the two bodies of the Buddha, this refers to the form body. And when we talk about the ultimate Buddha jewel, this of course refers to the comprehension of emptiness existing within the mind of the Buddha and the emptiness of that mind. Alright, so when we look at the Dharma jewel, again there is a classification of relative and ultimate, but
of course you have to keep in mind that you might come across different, let's say, subtleties of the explanation. Some explanation might be, let's say, at the more gross level. Some explanation might go more deeper, into more detail. Basically, we will be examining the truth of cessation and the truth of the path, and we try to classify those. And when we talk grossly, all right, the gross classification is you have a path, you follow a path, which is you're meditating on something, right? And this level is the conventional level. The ultimate level is the subject you're meditating on, and in particular, it's the subject of emptiness. Now, when we look at the assembly or the Sangha jewel, all right, again, we can make a classification between those who are Aryas and those who are Aryas of the lesser vehicle, those who are Aryas of the greater vehicle. So if you're talking about practitioners or Aryas, which are hearers and solitary realizers, they definitely fall into the category of conventional conventional Sangha jewel. Again, if you want to make the distinction between learners and non-learners in general classification, the learners all have to fall into the category of the relative jewel. If you want to talk about ultimate jewel, you would have to talk about non-learners, and this definitely refers to someone who has actualized the state of a Buddha jewel.
An individual who represents that.
Now, really, when we examine the Buddha and what the Buddha jewel really is, we have to come down to analyze it in two levels, the level of the definitive meaning and the level of the interpretative meaning. Because the Buddha himself has said in the Vajrakata Sutra that those who perceive my form and those who hear my mantra or my speech, my sound, they think they perceive me, but actually they do not see me. As long as you see the form, as long as you perceive the sound, you only perceiving a conventional and interpretative meaning. You don't get the real meaning, the definitive one.
On the ultimate dharma again, did you say the subject of emptiness, or is it emptiness itself?
It's the same. I was using it as a thing.
I think there was a mention that the conventional Buddha was the hearer and the solitary realizer, Arhat.
I think that's what was mentioned last time.
Only that you are Mandrava Siddhi Karidaji, Jadanji Karasigo, that you Rajumbala, some you are right. You do Rajumba, Ranji Rajumba, Tajin Rajumba, ແລະຈຸມບັດຊິນແມ່ຕ້ອງນາຕິນຣີຕິນໄດ້ຍິນດີແຕ່ແດຈຸມບັດຊູມະລຸມລໍາບາຍິນກີຢູ່ວ່າດີຍ້ອງພໍພະນອນນິພໍພະກະລະຊູກູນະຈືງພໍພະນາທໍພະພໍດໍມະລຸມພໍພະສຸມສີຍີວ່າຍີຊິນະມະລຸມພໍພະແດຈຸມບັດສົມບຸດິມະລຸມພໍພະຍິນດີຍ້ອງຕິອອກມາຊູທໍພະພໍຍິນດີທໍພະພໍດໍມະລຸມພໍພະຕະຊູກິນດີກິນດີຍິນບັດດີແດແດຍິນດີ
Actually, Rinpoche, just the way I phrased the question was that in the beginning we gave this distinction of hearers and solitary arhats and arhats of the great vehicle, and today we talked about the form body and the dharma body, and is this a different classification? And Rinpoche actually just went back into this classification of arhats, and we said we have three levels of arhats. We have arhats which are hearers, solitary realizers, and arhats of the great vehicle, which are the real Buddhas. And when we talk about arhats, we have to understand that they are Arya beings. When we examine Arya beings, we can categorize them in two: those which are learner Aryas and those who are normal learner Aryas. And definitely when you talk about arhats, they have to be on the path of normal learning. So arhats fall in the category of normal learning Aryas. Now,
Dharma, if they do, they come up with the wrong conclusion.
Could it be? Well, we're supposed to check the teachings for ourselves. But we already have to be pretty clear, otherwise we'll come up with the wrong conclusion. And the thing is, the Kalu Dao Chi, Nao Aina, Chung chang chang rai du sa, kong su sebu hao gu, netsu sebu hao gu min du sa. Chue ke ma ling gong la su su tak chi che gore zi, ina yang su su tez rikpa ngompo me ba, ta serbu me ba, tak chi ka chi che na yang ta seru dro gu min du sa. Ke lan ya ta doria di, ta ke wo din zi laf du gu min du sa.
Ori, da di, gari zi go. ที่ต้องช่วยจีอาเสียจีดินได้จีนำจีก็เชื่อว่าก็ต้องช่วยจีกูกูอยู่ว่าต้องช่วยจีนี้ก็ยินจีนเราจีนี้ที่เชื่อว่าก็จีกูกูอยู่ว่าเชื่อว่าที่จีการที่ก็เชื่อว่าเราไม่เอานะจีได้สองรับก็ยังนะเชื่อว่าก็นำยินเราจีทุยเชื่อว่าสามเป็นเชื่อว่ากุมเป็นเชื่อว่าสิจีรุกมันไม่อยู่ดีนี้ที่นั่นเนี่ยเราจะติดรักกันมาจีเชื่อว่าต้องช่วยยังยินเราหรือที่หากว่าจียังละเตียนนี้
ว่าจุดนั้นนั่นจีก็เชื่อว่าสิ่งที่ยังยินจีจีจีงี้ก็เชื่อว่าสิ่งที่ยังการุสิโกเชื่อว่าก็รู้แล้วมันชัดดิ้งยี่ยังก็อยู่อะไรมันจริงยี่ยังก็อยู่อะไรที่กังก็ฮักก็จีเนี่ยว่าจะติดได้จีก็คนนี้มันจริงว่าเชื่อว่าจีก็คนนี้ได้ต้องช่วยจีก็อยู่อะไรมาต่อจีก็ร้องร้องสู้สู้จีก็ต้องช่วยจีเนี่ยจีทวายยังอยู่อะไรวะจีก็นั่นจีก็เชื่อว่าก็ต้องช่วยจีว่าเนาะที่ต้องช่วยจีก็
ทับเสียนเราสู้สู้ได้ไหมทุ่มเนี่ยทับเสียดีตอนที่สู้สู้จีมาเรื่องการศึกษาสามดูน้องนี่ที่ทบจ้องจีที่ต้องช่วยจีตอนเราเด้อโอ้ดัดที่ชิโกกุยวารีเป็นอะไรจีการศึกษาเรื่องเชื่อว่าจีก็เชื่อละว่าจีทั้งกองอาตินะทั้งสู้จีโกกุยวารีนะทั้งสู้แบบที่สุดอย่างทั้งสู้จีลูกจีตอนที่มาที่จังนั่นเด้อที่หลังจีทุ่มเนี่ย
Before you do any examination, of course, you need to have a certain amount of wisdom. Is your wisdom which examines and analyzes? And different people, we have different degrees and different strengths of wisdom. We have talked about different types of wisdom, the wisdom that is derived through hearing, wisdom which is derived through listening,
reflecting wisdom that comes about through meditating. And all three of them, to begin with, have different strengths. And it is important to understand that, you know, sometimes with the amount of wisdom that is available to yourself, you will make mistakes. If you were capable of increasing or strengthening that wisdom, you could have a different type of wisdom that is not mistaken so often. So it is very important for us to actually receive some sort of external advice for certain subjects that are to be studied, for the method of studying and so forth. It is important to rely on advice of others as well, of course, as trying to develop this, our own power of examination. And what she was saying is, it's very much like the case that the example that was given right before, where we said that you might have something disputed and you end up in the court in front of the judge, and the two lawyers, they have to debate the subject. And if you're a lawyer, you know that it will take you many years to actually find the proper way of debating in the court if you want to have any hope of, you know, winning any trial at all. So if the lawyers actually have to train their minds for many years in order to be able to make the distinction between what is breaking the law and what is within the boundaries of laws, in a similar way, we have to train our minds and we have to strengthen and increase our wisdom. Otherwise, you know, an ordinary person with no training whatsoever, if you give them the task to analyze and decide for themselves what is to be practiced, you know, what teachings they should take on, of course they will make mistakes. So the actual advice that was given by the Buddha was, you know, do not accept my teachings without testing them. You have to test them and analyze them the same way you would analyze gold before you buy it. First of all, you would rub it, then you would burn it, finally you would cut it to make sure that it doesn't possess any impurities, that it is, you know, pure gold and so forth. So similarly, in our minds, we need to go through different levels of examinations. And going back into that example of the corn, Rinpoche is saying, you know, sometimes you have a case and it might go through, I don't know exactly what the term is, but let's say a lower court. And then if it is not decided there or if the decision does not suit you, you still have the right to appeal and take it to a higher court. And again, you know, the case is examined further in a more extensive way. And even if that is not, you know, good enough, then you can take it even in the highest court and have a more thorough investigation. So this is how we should do from outside. We should analyze on different levels as much as we can.
Remember,
she's saying it's actually according to the gravity of the situation, the importance of the case, that we send it into different courts. If it is a small defense, a small matter, it can go into one of the lower courts. But if it's, you know, a really important case, you know, it doesn't go into one of the smaller courts, but it goes into the higher or even the highest court. Okay, one more, because we're doing this much.
Tonight Rinpoche was talking about the purity, and Rinpoche said that at the eighth ground and above, they've eliminated a lot of afflictions and stains from the mind. And I was wondering, what is considered to be the final affliction that is eliminated before arriving at the level of Buddhahood?
Mm-hmm. Chima mambo tarne tenala tar semtes taru jogdos. Ya chima panya ki chima thama thama de kainas.
That drama jida jigi thosan thosan ni drama de charo mambo yobe na ni drama raba de so mama mama ni mar ta drama thamu de so yang rumba rumba jita. That drama pakshak dan jiva si drama rangi ဒီကံဒုက္ခံတော်မြင့်တည်တိစံတော်ဝတိရံတော်ဝပြင်းနေကြည့်တိပြင်းတဲ့ကြရွာတော်ပြင်းနေကြည့်နောက်ကကြည့်ကနောင်းနဲ့ဒီကရစေကိုသောပန်တဲ့ကြည့်ရနဲ့တံပုတ်ချီတူဒီနောင်းနဲ့ဂောပုတ်ဂောပယောယနာဂောပခရောမင်းနဲ့ဂောပတမန်တော်ဝတည်တည်ကြည့်ရွာတော်ဟောတဲ့ဂောပတမန်တော်ဝတည်တမန်ထိုက်စင်တော်ပါစေပေါ့ချက်စစ်ကြည့်တိတင်တာကထမုတ်ထမုတ်ကြည့်ရုံ
Right, so when we go through this process of purificating different states of the mind or negativities of the mind, we move from the grosser to the more subtle, and eventually we come to the level of imprints. Imprints are considered to be the most subtle and the most difficult to remove of those obscurations and stains. So the last things you would be abandoning is the imprints of stains of the mind. Ramsha gave the example of the garlic, the smell of garlic that lingers. If you have garlic in a small pot, now to remove the garlic is the easy part, but to get rid of the smell of the garlic, you might have to wash that bowl a number of times. So it is like trying to remove the imprints. It's very subtle, but it stays there. I think it's about 20 seconds. All right, we stop here for today.